Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And here's Johnny.
And welcome to the show.
I made that up.
You did?
Yeah.
I love it. I know you always do something different, so I try to like anticipate what you're going to do. I leave you a nice gap.
Yeah, that one just, you know, off the cuff, off the top of my head, completely fresh material.
Yeah, never heard that. This week we will review 1BR. At least that's what we talked about like a million years ago, it feels like. As always, John will give us a plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we should talk about what we've been watching. So, John, you said you started watching What If?
Yes, I saw the first episode.
Cool.
A lot of fun stuff. Very, very cool.
All right. Well, what is it? What is it? What was the first episode about? Because I don't even know. I know what it is, but like, what was the first episode about?
Also, it's kind of fun. It's just like the comics. So it's narrated by the Watcher. Jeffrey Wright's playing the Watcher. So it's like a fun, like, beginning thing. And, you know, they never show him, which might make it really silly, I think. But you kind of get like a silhouette of his head. So it's exactly like the What If comics. He's just like, oh, I only watch, I don't involve, or I don't blah blah interfere, blah blah. And this episode was about what if Agent Carter, I mean Captain Carter, what if Agent Carter took the serum instead of Chris Evans, Steve Rogers.
No, Steve. No, Chris Evans. You got it right.
It's Chris Evans. Sorry, Anthony Mackie. So that's what the episode was about. It was really cool.
So does Steve Rogers get Alzheimer's and dies?
No, it's you know how how did it go down? I already kind of forgot how it went down initially. Somebody try to sabotage it, right? Or is this just for this?
I think
in this one, somebody tries to sabotage it. It's like a Hydra agent, and Agent Carter sees this out of the corner of her eye. But before she can get to the guy blows up everything.
Yeah,
and Steve Rogers, still like a scrawny kid, is like trying to go and fight this Hydra agent. Hydra agent shoots him twice in the abdomen, and then Agent Carter is able to subdue everyone, right? Because she's like a badass. And it's very 50s. So you got, what's his name? He plays the bad guy in Billy Madison. That's probably not the best. He's also one of the guys in Cabin in the Woods, one of like the main scientists.
Or Bradford Whitmore.
Yes. I can't really forget his name. Yeah. The one from Get Out also, right?
Yeah. That guy. I forget. Bradley something or other.
Bradley Cooper. So he's very 1950s, like, oh, this broad, oh, now, like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And while all this is happening, what's Tony Stark's dad's name? Howard Stark?
Howard Stark.
He's kind of like throwing a fit because he's like, oh man, we only got this one chance. It's about to go away. Oh, we need to find somebody. And that other guy that I was just talking about says like, well, get in there. And he's like, no, I just push the buttons and do the science stuff. Come on. And then Agent Carter's like, just kind of jumps in there and gets in the tank. And Howard Stark's like all excited, like, hell yeah. And he like just pumps her pull of the serum. And she doesn't actually change all that much.
Yeah, I was about to say, does her bosoms grow? Because Chris Evans' breasts just grew like twice the size. So.
Her breasts grew into enormous pecs, and her feet turned into big rubber feet, so she could run on the street.
Oh, man.
But it was pretty good. I mean, it kind of follows the same sort of storyline Captain America would follow, how he meets the Howling Commandos. And
yeah.
Agent Carter and Steve Rogers still have a relationship.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm spoiling too much. This will
just
come out.
Just spoil yeah. it. Yeah. yeah. Go for it.
Howard Stark. Okay, they find the Tesseract somewhere. Because Agent mm-hmm. Carter, this is where Agent Carter becomes Captain Carter. Because Howard Stark's like kind of influencing her with like the Captain Britain shield and the whole suit and all that shit. And they kind of like work together to find where Hydra's taking the Tesseract, and they were able to take the Tesseract. And then this leads to Steve Rogers pops out of nowhere because Agent or Captain Carter, right, is like, oh, I need some air support. And Howard Stark's like, sending in air support. And then fucking Steve Rogers is basically Iron Man, and he fucking pops out of nowhere. He's being powered by the Tesseract, not a what's that
serum.
Called?
Super
or not
serum?
The no for the Iron Man suit. Oh damn!
Wow,
the thing in his chest.
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe DC fans.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah, it's like that. It's the Tesseract instead of that.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty cool. It's fun.
Interesting.
And it's got an interesting little end.
Okay.
So the Red Skull's still able to use the Tesseract, but he's using it as like a portal to send like a creature to come through. And it's kind of like this huge like octopus sort of thing that you kind of only see the tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks like, this is going to be our champion for Hydra. And that thing immediately goes and squishes him. So in this world, Red Skull got himself killed very quickly.
Yeah.
And it ends up with Captain Carter having to fight this thing and push this thing back into like the Tesseract portal before it closes. So everybody's like saying bye. And then they have the same conversation about like, oh, that dance, we need to have that dance, blah, blah, blah. She goes through. And when she pops back out, she's already like in defend mode, but the octopus thing is already in pieces. And Jeremy Renner, because like they actually got the actors to come and voice a lot of these things. So Jeremy Renner and Samuel L. Jackson are there as Nick Fury and Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And Hawkeye is like, holy shit, sir, that's Captain Carter. So like this world, everybody knew who Captain Carter was. Mm-hmm. And this is now her story, being like sent to the future.
So okay, so they changed
instead
how
of Captain America. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They changed how it.
So it's pretty cool, and that's the way it ends.
Yeah, I'm on the fence about that. I haven't really like committed either way. If I want to watch it, would you recommend it, or are you going to continue with it?
I think if you like the cartoons, you know how like a lot of like Earth's Mightiest Heroes, like they were very fun.
Yeah.
This is just like a very, very much more an adult version. Because a lot of people die. Like, there's no qualms about them killing Nazis in this, right?
Really?
Yeah, you see a lot of people, like, you know, Steve Rogers blows up, like, a tank. You know, Captain Carter blows up a bunch of tanks. Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty fun. I'd say give it a go.
Okay, I'll try it out. I wasn't, like, I'm a little burnt out on... I don't want to say superhero stuff because I'm definitely for sure checking out Titans later.
But, yeah.
but just maybe Marvel in general, I'm a little burnt out. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, they're becoming another. I mean, Disney's just pushing like another Star Wars franchise. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Well, they need the money. The pandemic.
Yeah.
They're suffering. Small mom and pop shop they are. They're suffering.
I mean, I feel for them. I'm super happy that ScarJo was nice enough to be like, you know what? I don't need any of the money from this. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, what a monster she is. Right?
I know. Like, to do that to such a humble company.
To hold somebody accountable for the money that they were promised.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, all right. Did you have anything else? Did you watch anything else besides that or anything else worth mentioning?
I now have like, I don't know how this is going to go over. I've been watching the Turner Hooch television show.
Okay.
And I'm really invested in it now, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Because I really like the movie. I like the Tom Hanks one.
Yeah.
I think there's only one. I don't know why I said the Tom Hanks one.
Oh, yeah. Is there a sequel? There's no sequel, right? It's just one.
No, I don't think so.
I feel like Tom Hanks starred in a lot of movies with dogs. Am I crazy?
No, I feel like he has it. Like, okay. So my favorite Tom Hanks movie, also my favorite Meg Ryan movie, is You Got Mail. Uh-huh. And he most certainly has a dog in that.
Yeah. But are these solving crimes? And
sort of. They're solving the mystery of who their pen pal is. That they're
Joe Fox. Who's Joe Fox?
Joe Fox. F-O-X.
I mean, the only reason I remember that is it's such a like basic generic name. Joe Fox. Yeah. Joe Fox. So easy. Yeah. Okay, cool. So maybe has it finished? Has it wrapped yet, Turner and Hooch?
No, I think there are only 5 episodes out right now.
Okay. When it wraps, maybe we'll get your like final opinion on it. Your last
full review.
Full review. Okay. I have been checking out, well, I don't know why this started, but I just decided to watch last Sunday, start watching Michael Mann movies. I was like, I'm going to watch Miami Vice. And I was like,
He did Miami Vice remake.
He did Miami
That's
Vice.
That's right.
I'm like oddly obsessed with this movie. I don't know why.
And who's in that? Is that Colin Farrell? Is Jeremy Renner in that?
No, Justin Thoreau. Thoreau is in it.
Yeah.
What's that chick's name? Naomi something.
Naomi Campbell? Naomi Watts? I actually don't remember.
She was... I wish I had the list of actors. She was in Moonlight. She played the mom.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm talking about? She's British. Anyway.
Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx, yeah.
Naomi Harris.
God. Naomi Harris. Okay, there you go. Yeah.
Forget that.
I wanted to say Harris, but I don't know. I didn't.
John Ortiz? That guy's fun.
It's just one of those movies that, like, I really liked. I don't know why I liked it, and then everybody hated it. And it was one of those movies that I could just put on and just check out. I think I really like Colin Farrell's performance in this. With Gong Li, the female, his female actress, they're really good in it, and like, so I just decided, okay, I'll check out Miami Vice, and then okay, I'm just gonna keep going. So what's the next movie? So then, you know, I just started watching every day. Watched every day this week. I've watched all of his movies. I haven't finished them yet. So,
but did you check up on why people hated the movie initially, and why I think people still should hate the movie?
No, why?
The wardrobe is all wrong. It is fucking stupid what they're wearing. There is no cuffed blazers or sports coats. There's no loud colors.
Yeah.
With white linen jackets.
There's just something, I think the reason why I like it so much, it's because it's a big budget movie that is shot in the ugliest pedestrian HD.
And 2006, looks, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like really grainy, awful, you know, student film. And I think I'm just like wildly fascinated by him, Michael Mann in general, especially during this period. He was shooting movies like in HD, and from like Ali to Collateral to Miami Vice to Public Enemies, that series of movies, like he was something that's kind of I've noticed throughout his career, he's always like trying something new out, you know what I mean, in terms of like shooting. So he was like playing around with HD, shooting under like you know, very low light, and seeing what kind of, you see all the grain, you see all the kind of distortion in the image. And he was one of the first directors actually doing it, you know. Everyone was still shooting in film, and he was ahead of the game now, you know. Now it's commonplace. Almost everything is shot digital. So film is almost obsolete for certain.
Is this one of those movies that suffered from that, like, everything's got that, like, blue hue to it? Or, like, that blue sort of greenish. Not, I wouldn't say super green, but
No, I mean, it looked okay. I don't think they shot the entire movie. From what I recall, I don't think they shot the whole movie in HD. It's just there are a lot of scenes that are very, very specific that look, don't look like, film.
Hmm. Okay.
And so that always interests me because he was the one that kind of was ahead of it. And you kind of see that through all his career. He's always revolutionizing and always trying things. He kind of, he's very stylistic and early in his career when he did Thief, Manhunter, those movies are very style forward for the time. And he was doing something completely separate from what everybody else was doing. He even brought that same sensibilities to Miami Vice, and Miami Vice was this huge fucking hit back in the '80s or whatever. And it had a lot to do with him, experimenting and pushing the limits of cop protocol TV shows and stuff like that. So he was kind of early on in it. And then you get in the middle of his career, I felt like he made all his masterpieces in the middle. You know what I mean? Last of the Mohicans, Heat. Those movies are just action, epic movies. And he's also very good at he does a lot of cop movies, but I think it's because he likes,
Robert De Niro and Al Pacino.
Details. Yeah. He pays a lot of attention to people's processes, police process. He does it exactly how a police officer would at that time. So he's doing movies Public Enemy. I think that was the '30s, '40s. I don't remember around there. And I feel like he's incredible attention to detail, and he has has so much unique style to his movies that, now granted, his scripts are what sometimes suffer, right? Cause his scripts aren't always good. And sometimes he perpetuates a lot of, weak drama between relationships. He struggles with sometimes, I think, with relationships in the movies, couples and stuff. They're not always, they seem a little hollow. They're not as well constructed, as some of the other stuff around it. But yeah, no, he kind of has that, who else is often, credited for that? Stanley Kubrick. Stanley Kubrick's really terrible at feeling movies, right? But they're technically perfect, right? They're just these amazing achievements. But there's generally no emotions behind a lot of his stories and stuff. And I think Michael Mann suffers from that just on a different scale. But
How do you feel about Michael Mann compared to what I can only assume is his hero, Michael Bay?
Yeah. I know. Michael Bay, he's more problematic. I think he has a director.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Sure.
I would put Michael Mann's filmography against Michael Bay's any day of the week.
I don't think Michael Bay understands that. I think most people think he's silly, and then that's why they watch his movies.
Yeah, he takes himself seriously, absolutely. But
yeah, he should have done the Vin Diesel route and realize what he is.
Yeah, that's true, and just embraced it.
Which is weird. I was actually just talking about Vin Diesel with my mom, and she's like, it's not like Vin Diesel is a good actor. I'm like, well, the thing is, when he was starting out, he was pretty fucking good. Boiler Room and all those movies. He was oh, this guy's gonna be fucking brilliant. And even Pitch Black and all those movies, oh, he's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But then I think he found his cash cow, and he's like, I can feed this thing for a decade.
Yeah, he's become a parody of himself at this point. He's not trying anymore. Yeah. Yeah, I get that. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
He's Groot.
He's Groot, yeah. But yeah, no, I look forward to finishing his filmography. There's not everything's available to stream, so there's certain movies that aren't, have to rent. So I've been saving those for the last. One movie that I think is, how do you feel about Ali? Did you like that? Do you remember it? Did it leave any impression on you?
I don't really remember it, but I do remember liking it. But truthfully, I tend to like most things Will Smith does anyway.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I think it's really underrated. I remember it getting very mixed reception, and even at the time when I saw it originally when it came out, being mixed on it, But I feel like the more I've watched it, the more I've enjoyed it. And when I watched this last time, I was like, I feel like I understood it more, the movie. I don't know. It's a weird thing, but it's a really, really like simple, solid movie. I think at the time, unfortunately, I had the pressure of like, oh, it's going to be this huge Oscar movie. Will Smith's going to win all the awards. And when that didn't happen, I guess, people kind of were turned off on it. And I think it's a movie that people should revisit. And just, you know, now that we're like maybe 10 years apart from when it came out, I think it's a solid, solid movie.
A movie I kind of feel like that about, also involving Will Smith, even though honestly the last act is kind of crap, is Hancock. I think that movie's a lot of fun. I think it's really good.
Yeah.
Except for like the last act of crap. I'm like, it's getting a little too silly.
Yeah, I remember that. They try to be serious about their silliness.
Yeah, we're gods and blah, 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 and we die, blah, blah. It almost felt like they were doing the Hawk couple thing, the DC, like Hawkman and Hawk Girl.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah. Or really strange.
Does she ever become Hawk Woman, or do they just keep her as Hawk Girl?
I think they come into, they're all men. They're Hawk Girls, the Hawk Men. There's no women. No.
It's just, what are they called? Talagarians or Thalagarians?
Something like that.
In their culture, there's no such thing as age of consent. So that's why.
All men.
And that's why they're the bad guys, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, for most of the galaxy.
Except for our heroes who are supposed to be like intergalactic Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But cool. All right.
Should we get to our one bathroom?
One bathroom would be our... Yeah.
What specific requests for an apartment? I would put at least one bathroom, right?
Right. The shitter's in the kitchen by the stove.
Oh, my God. There are some apartments like that here in LA.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I've seen them. I've seen them in Zillow. Okay. So let's get to our main review. John, do you want to give the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Yes, I certainly do. Johnny's 5 word. What?
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Johnny's 5 word plot summary for one bathroom.
Yeah.
I didn't. Ooh. Coming in working. Number 4.
4. We got 4. I thought we had 3.
Oh, I so, added a 4th. There's actually a 5th.
All right.
But I don't want Scientology to get mad at me. But there might be a relation to the movie.
That's 6 words. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't play by my own rules anymore. Okay, so coming in at number 4, I have not a very good Shyamalan movie.
Oh, yeah. Shyamalama ding dong. All right.
Oh, yeah. And coming in at number 3, I have A Single Woman, the Hollywood edition. At number 2, I have West Side Rentals, Los Angeles Guide.
Yeah.
And coming in at number 1, I have Baking Show Special, Cats Edition.
All right.
Even though that was only like 10 seconds of the movie.
Yeah.
And then she quickly stopped giving a shit about the cat.
For a very good reason. Being a cat dad, that was very difficult to go through. So, it's very brief. And nobody mentions the cat again. So,
no.
All right. Do you want to give your first thoughts on 1BR? I'm assuming you hated this.
But, no, I thought it was okay. It wasn't great, I'll be honest. It was like, okay.
All right, yeah.
It's a little what do I say? Like contrived? I don't know. Like
contrived. That's saying something. Yeah.
Yeah. You know. I'm not going to say the strongest writers wrote this, right?
No. Okay.
Yeah. The direction's a little student filmy.
Small. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the actors were not very good.
Again, yeah.
Yeah. Like, this was clearly an indie effort.
Yeah.
There you go. I think that's my thoughts on it. I don't want to be too mean about it because it wasn't like the worst movie I've ever seen. No. It wasn't horrible. It had its moments, but it was also very like, okay.
I completely agree with what you said about the indie. Indiness is the word we settled on, right? So like, yeah. I totally get the indiness. It's total indie movie, 1000%. Yeah,
like, not,
yeah,
not to be mean? Confused with like Fox Searchlight indie, right?
This
money indie.
No money indie, yeah. Like all these locations, I know. So
man. Yeah, that was real silly. That was going to be one of my ongoing jokes for this, but then it was like really slapping you in the face with it. I was like, this was like anywhere USA, right? But it was like so hard LA.
But aside from that, I think that the lead is really good in it. I liked her. I believed her. And it's the first time I've seen her in anything. And Nicole Bloom, I thought she was really good for what she was given and the part she had to play. And I think the director is also the writer. And I think there's a lot of things that he tries to subvert for this type of movie. So basically, this is like Rosemary's Baby without the baby and Rosemary. You know what I mean? But with all the other elements of it, right? This is like the satanicness you pull out and then you plug in cult.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Similar to like what you were saying about like a Scientology. You know what I mean?
And I got to say real quick, what a waste of Naomi Grossman.
Who is she? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like,
she
has a small waste. Part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they just used her for facial expressions, which are always fantastic. But I was like,
ugh. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I think maybe in spoilers, we talk about the twist because it's very twisty.
Yes.
This movie. But I think the overall, I mean, I generally liked it because I honestly felt like it's a lot of other movies, but kind of changed different bits and subverted expectations of it. And I kind of liked that about it because I could never guess what was going to happen next in an obvious way. Right.
Oh, right.
Unfortunately, I think, and we can talk about spoilers, but the ending I think is just, it lands on just the most, I found the ending to be flat and very obvious where, what was going to happen.
Right.
Without, it's similar to, this is, I think that mentioning this is kind of a dance around the spoiler, but like The Invitation, it almost has the same ending as The Invitation.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It almost has the exact same thing as The Invitation, but like the idea of, we can get into that later. But so I felt like the ending was a little flat, but I was actually kind of like that the film, I couldn't guess where the film was going. And I think it does a pretty good job of, you know, subverting expectation. I think I've said that already, but like, right, I think it subverts the expectation a lot in the script and where you think it might go, right? And when we saw the trailer for this, it immediately looks like, oh, there's something going on in this quote unquote community, right? That was sort of the big thing. And I thought it was going to have like a Rosemary's Baby thing where it's like, they obviously want her, obviously some sort of cult. They're using the, are going to be like fucking with her through the whole movie. And then we'll find out the mystery is like, what is their intention? But without spoiling, they kind of are like, no, like 30 minutes in, we know exactly what's going on.
Right.
Right. And then we spend the middle chunk of the movie with this sort of twist. And I thought that was interesting. I liked that. That was actually pretty clever. that I liked a lot. That you know, people. I mean, it's pretty obvious what's going on in the beginning, but I did like that the twist happened so quick that that they started focusing on other things too, about this woman, like, going through the different processes and, you know what I mean, of Scientology like cult. If that makes sense.
Yeah, she's kind of getting brainwashed, essentially, right?
Right, yeah.
Is that spoiling anything?
Is it?
Not really. I don't know.
No, I mean,
I guess I should also mention that a lot happens in this movie, but it happens very fast.
That's true. That's also true, yeah.
And then there's a lot of moments that, for me, were, okay. Like the dude was throwing in as many, what am I looking for? Like Deus Ex Machina's for this character, especially towards the end.
Can you mention one that isn't a spoiler?
Well, like a major one for me is, so she goes outside at the end for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And everything leading up to that logistically would have been like, that's impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The friend showing up.
Yes. That was one part I did not like. Yeah.
Oh, man. And she was like, that lady was acting so hard that she was so far removed from how everyone else was acting.
know, like, okay, yeah, I agree.
I'm not saying she was bad, but she definitely stuck out, you know, like, and not in like the best way.
This is just a random like you and I thing, but the cubicles they were using, weren't those the ones that they had for the old LA Times? I think I recognized them. The cubicles early on when she's temping.
Oh.
Those cubicles look like the ones they have there as, you know, they left as facades or sets for an office set there at the old LA Times or whatever. It looked just like them. I was like, oh, shit, I know exactly where they're filming.
Oh, wait, were you talking about the Herald Examiner?
Yeah, it's the one in the downtown. Not the LA Times, I guess. But
no, I don't think the Herald Examiner is there anymore.
Oh, really? They tore it down?
They tore it down.
Shit.
I forgot when, but yeah, they wanted to build condos there.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. Yeah, so they tore down like a historical landmark.
Because it was a big filming.
Oh, man. Yeah. Like
location.
What was the last big thing they shot? Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah, it was mostly shot there.
What was the other thing?
It's Always Sunny.
Oh, It's Always Sunny. Yeah, yeah. The downstairs. Yeah.
Just funny because like the bar, I mean, the designer did a good job of like changing all the colors and all that stuff. But the bar has been like that same bar set way before Always Sunny was there.
Yeah, that's so funny. OK, enough of our film location things,
because I was going to say maybe L.A. Center Studios, that place like near downtown.
Yeah.
Where they shot like Drive and all that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
And Mad Men.
Yeah.
Oh, now we're giving industry secrets.
Oh, fuck. Movies are shot in Hollywood. Surprise, surprise.
Actually, movies aren't shot anywhere near Hollywood. True. Surprise, surprise. Yeah.
Just low budget film stuff. Let's see. Student film stuff. Let's see. I don't know. Do you want to just? I feel like there's such a twist that we should just get into spoilers and then we just talk about the movie more freely.
Yeah, let's just do it. Cause yeah, the thing we would spoil happens, like you said, like 20 to 30 minutes in.
Yeah. Of a 90 minute movie. And so like it sort of plays out. The cool thing was that it like tries really hard to like not be the film you think it's going to be. So if we could just get into spoilers.
Okay. Let's do it.
Wait. No, 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 stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers.
So
she's possessed.
She's possessed. She's pregnant. No, it's Rosemary's Baby. No, it's
she's the witch from that movie with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, the unholy,
the unholy Mary. She's Mary. Oh. shit. Yeah. So essentially, she becomes a prisoner of this sort of cult community. And the idea is that
very, very Hollywood grooming, right?
Yeah. Right,
is sort of the idea.
Yeah,
they were so going. Yeah,
no, go ahead. Explain it. Yeah,
but they were planning to capture her so right. they could groom her to be a part of the community by mm-hmm. brainwashing her, because they got like a tight knit community and they all have like some burn brand mark behind their ear to indicate they're a part of this community. Oh, they all have the same handbook about what community.
It's dude. And, now that you've kind of put it in that context, dude, that sounds like exactly what like fanatical conservatives think of LA.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, maybe this guy is one of the, I don't know. I don't know anything about this guy.
I don't know. Who is this guy? Yeah. Yeah. Again, people. Yeah.
And then she doesn't get caught right away because she decides to not go to this party that she was supposed to get caught at.
Right, yeah.
But in between all that, or like right after that, like right before they decide to capture her and right after the party, they decide to bake her cat to wake her up for reasons.
Yeah.
Instead of just like throwing the cat away or killing the cat. Yeah. These people are so crazy that they're like, now we taught you a lesson and now we have to get rid of this dead cat smell that's been baking in your oven for I don't know how long because there's smoke and we have to clean the oven.
Well, yeah, they turned your apartment into a prison or like a holding cell.
So yeah, something like that.
Torture cell or something.
Because there's like one door that she couldn't open, right?
Yeah, she had to. Well, yeah, I guess like to kind of explain, like she gets this one bedroom apartment. She's picked to live there. They try to initiate her. Everyone's super nice, but like too nice. And then they eventually disclose that, you know, they've cut her off from all her, like whatever family has she left, whatever friends. She's new to LA. So this is now you, we're all you have. And then they try to like brainwash her into this being a part of this like community, right? Essentially.
Right. Yeah. Cause I guess because I had a little bit of trouble trying to figure out how they were able to cut so many ties.
Yeah, it's convenient. She had a strained relationship with her dad and no friends.
Right. Except for that one friend.
Yeah.
Her coworker.
Her coworker. Yeah.
Which I thought was funny. It was like, how is the dad not picking up on something's weird? Like, even if he got sent an email, I'd be like, an email, you know? Because it didn't seem like, you know.
Yeah.
And then the credit card companies and all that, I was like, well, she has to give all that information when she applies for the apartment.
Yeah. She, well, they do try to explain it. Like, they try to say, like, he shows up at the apartment. And then they have right. that scene where she, like, basically tells him to go fuck himself. Because he, like, cheated on his dying mom with the nurse that was taking care of her or something. Yeah. But I really like that middle part of the movie where you see her try to assimilate to the cult.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. She becomes catatonic almost.
You have a long drawn out, torture, you know what I mean? Or like brainwashing. And then they welcome her into the community. They like give her a book to read. There's always literature along with these places. And then it's look very published and old, the book. And they try to like, honestly, I didn't even really completely understand the whole idea of the community. That was one thing that was super vague. You know what I mean?
Like, so even at the end, I don't think that was ever fully explained.
Yeah.
That, like the guy he thought was a leader was just as much of a pawn as everybody else.
So, yeah. So at the end, it's basically like she's trying to get indoctrinated, but really trying, but like sees like little she kind of, towards the end, you think that, like, okay, well, I'm going to be a part of this group or whatever, but she ends up turning on them, getting a gun, and just starts, like, escaping, and has the help of another resident there that who also had a tough time, didn't want to assimilate there, so they bonded over that.
And
very,
I guess,
briefly.
Yeah, they wanted her to be his new wife?
Yeah, that was very weird and vague about what it is that the relationship was.
Oh, and real, I thought it was, one, funny, and two, real pointless that, like, her coworker friend decided to move into that same building for reasons.
That was, like, yeah.
Of all the places in L.A., because I know L.A. is a super, super small city, but I'm sure there's more apartments to rent.
Yeah, so, that was very like, oh, we got to afford the plot.
We also can't afford to hire another actor.
Yeah.
And then she, like, gets, she's the reason our hero, our heroine gets snapped back to reality. And then that lady is immediately shot in the face.
Yeah. And then, yeah, and then she, like, ends up escaping, and she wanders out into the street after, I'm assuming, a lot of months, and she walks by the next apartment complex, and it has the same sort of branding as the company.
Right.
And then they do the fucking invitation ending where it's like they have red siren alarms go off, and then, like, the next one goes off, and then the whole street ends up, like, having the same sort of red light alarms going off, and then she's like, oh, they're everywhere.
It's like, oh, dude,
twist.
Get out of North Hollywood or wherever you're at.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Rosemead.
Yeah.
And so, she also kind of starts laughing too, right? Like, she cracks or something?
Yeah, I didn't get the laugh.
Maybe I made that up. I don't know.
No, she did. And then she, like, clutched her fist like Arthur. And then she, like, made a run for it.
She's like, I'm going to fight. But it's like, what are you going to fight, though?
Yeah, just, you're dead, technically, right? If according to them, you don't exist.
Yeah. And also, I think it's just luck on her end that only one person had a gun in the entire apartment.
Yeah. Nobody else had a gun. Even the Iraqi vet didn't have a gun.
Oh, yeah.
only the, I don't know, the fucking guy, he thought, who was the landlord or whatever.
Yeah, that actor. I'm gonna say the veteran was really young. Wasn't, like, the best in the movie.
No.
And then the guy that's supposed to be kind of like the landlord, I feel like I've seen him in other movies and he's been a lot better. Taylor Nichols.
He's a seasoned actor. He's been in a ton of things over the years. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Because I figured it was the same guy, but I don't know. Maybe it was just, like, the mood or the setting. I just felt like some of the acting was weak, but maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe it was just the writing.
I think it was the writing.
Dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
None of it really a lot of the dialogue felt like it was just to progress the plot. It was very plot-centric, not really, like, giving these guys, like, you know, like, motivation or character,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody wants something, and all they cared about was whatever, the community thing. And it was a little one note.
A little bit, yeah. There wasn't a whole lot of flavor in the conversations, I would say. Which, if that's the idea, I mean, I still think, I don't know. I didn't hate the movie. I just want to make that clear.
I suspected you might not like it because it's a little underwhelming, some of the twists and everything, you know what I mean? Like, it's very LA-centric, so it's very kind of low budge, not the strongest script. So I thought maybe, oh, John's going to hate this. John's going to hate this movie.
If you're going to do, like, the torture porn aspect of this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just really go for it, because when she ripped her hands out of the wall, so at one point she's supposed to keep her hands against this wall, and there's this light connected to like a box, which I was mm-hmm. like, oh, she's gonna get electrocuted or something. But no, that it was just, I guess that's what Set Deck came up with. It's like a big brown box with like a red light on it. Mm-hmm. And if she removed her hands, they would come in and tell her, like, put your hands back up or they're gonna shoot her. And then they decide to help her out by nailing her hands into the wall where the spots are supposed to be at.
Yeah.
And then at one point, what she thinks she heard her, she's hearing her dad, but she's breaking at this point.
Yeah.
Coming back to save her. And she envisions like one of the walls exploding and she's supposed to get out. So she rips her hands off the wall and the nails don't come with her hands. Right. So I'm like, okay, really show it. Her hands got to be like really fucked up. She's got to have like major damage. It's like, no, it looked like there was no nail head on the nail.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I understand it's like low budget.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. Okay. I mean, did you have any last thoughts you want to?
About one bathroom?
One bathroom.
I think something like this idea would have been, I feel like I say this about a lot of things, but this would have been like a nice little like mini series where you get like her story and then maybe you can go back and like reintroduce, what's her name? Actress, older lady.
Yeah. The older, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
She was a lot of fun. Like if you get like, at what point she broke and she became a part of the community, because there's a couple of characters that didn't fit the same way the other community members fit.
Right.
And yeah. She was definitely one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that'd be interesting, but yeah, I was a little underwhelmed towards the end.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. I think a TV show might work. I can see them, like, I would like to see them flesh out like some of these characters that are in this community, and I would have liked to have seen more from her and her sort of turn, or like her accepting the into this community. And I think those things would have been more interesting. I think they, but because it's like small budget movie, you know what I mean, for what it is, I think it's actually a pretty effective movie. I think the ending kind of lands like a thud, but I think for the most part, I like that I couldn't like guess where the movie was going.
Right.
So I think that was probably one of the clever things done with it.
What if the same person that did what's that movie that I keep going back to where I'm like, you know what? The more I think about it, the more I really, really love this movie.
Come True. Really?
Come True. Like if this movie was kind of like Come True,
mm-hmm.
where it's like a little more artsy about what's going on,
that'd be interesting too. Like I know what you mean.
Like dive into her head and see how she's breaking.
Yeah.
Which I know they kind of try to do that with the dad thing, but I didn't quite understand. Was that like her last hope breaking?
Well, I think you're right when you said that it's just in a hurry. Like the movie's like a lot of stuff, a lot of information, and they just try to like hit you with like single girl moving into one bedroom apartment. There's this weird thing going on. It's actually all a surprise twist. It's a cult community. She has to like going through all this torture. You know, it just bangs you over the head with like all these like series of things really fast and try to compress it into like a 90-minute movie.
Yeah, so. There's like absolutely no time or room for like sex and car chases, you know.
yeah what's the rent like, and is there a pool? Come on,
something about it doesn't add up because she's struggling at her job, she's struggling to make money for a different place, but she can afford this place. I don't know.
yeah unrealistic. Okay. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones. Ooh,
sexy bones. Well, I know what you need.
Show us your
sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to give this one 5 sexy, spooky bones.
Interesting. Interesting. Because
right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Yeah.
I am going to do the exact same. I'm going to give it 5 sexy, spooky bones.
Pretty as well. Average sexiness.
Pretty average. Yeah. I think there's things about it that I feel like could work. And then according to the director, this is like his first feature. So there's a lot of learning going. That's probably going to happen as he continues to work in other stuff. So not bad. Not bad at all. All right.
Oh, you know what? If what's her face that did Saint Maud did this movie, I think it would have been better.
Yeah. You wanted more Artie.
I think I did. Yeah. Considering what it was, I think I was like, man, this could have just been way, way more artsier.
Like
could have gone off the rails, Cronenberg style.
Yeah, like, go like completely like left, yeah. You know, fucking left field on everything. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Okay. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. And don't move to LA.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to.